Earlier this year, ProPublica, an independent nonprofit newsroom, launched an online database called Documenting Hate. It's designed to track hate crimes across the country, and it's pretty unique. For a long time, the FBI has been collecting hate crime data, but it's limited, mostly because local police departments are not required to share hate crime data with the FBI. So, for example, in 2015, the number of hate crimes the FBI counted was a little under 6,000.
But the Bureau of Justice Statistics does a survey to try to figure out how many people are victims of hate crimes, and they estimate that there are around 250,000 hate crimes every year in the United States.
That's Rachel Glickhaus from ProPublica. She manages Documenting Hate, and she says the project helps fill in the gaps to get a better sense of how often hate crimes actually happen. Here's how it works. ProPublica has an online form on their website, which also lives on the websites of dozens of news organizations, including ours, LatinoUSA.org, and anyone can fill out this online form to report things like racist intimidation, violence, and harassment. As of now, ProPublica has recorded about 4,000 incidents. We pulled up a few reports and asked staff here to read some of them out loud, and just a heads up, one of them includes a racial slur.
My husband and I rented a home through Airbnb. One of the neighbors came to us and started chasing me out of a beach house because I was a quote-unquote illegal Mexican. I am a U.S. citizen of Colombian descent. She chased me, tried to assault me, and all while calling me racial slurs.
My 13-year-old daughter was in her 7th grade art class when a group of white students took her folder and kept it from her the whole day and returned it vandalized with Trump remarks all over it. My daughter is one of a few black Hispanic kids in her majority white school. The school never notified me.
My husband, a Hispanic male, was jogging along the main highway through town. Two white men pulled up in a rundown truck. It had a Confederate flag as a front license plate. They called him a f***ing spick and threw a glass bottle full of urine at him. It broke on his chest.
Some of these tips, as Rachel calls them, are just that, tips. Others have been verified by the police or by reporters. Many of them, though, still need to be investigated. I sat down with Rachel to learn more about what the database is showing. Are you noticing any particular patterns or some groups being targeted more than others?
So we've seen a couple of different patterns in the tips we've received. The first one, and I think probably the most common thing we see people report to us, verbal harassment or intimidation with the phrase, go back to your country or get out of my country or some variation on those two. We see that over and over again. That language is used by a man who shot and killed an Indian immigrant. And it was also used by the white supremacist who killed two people in Portland in the spring. Another thing we've seen that BuzzFeed has done a lot of reporting on is the use of racist intimidation and harassment in schools. Kids using really racist language and also alluding to certain policies or ideas that Trump has to intimidate other students. So things like saying, build the wall or Trump's going to deport you. That's something we've seen a lot. We've had literally hundreds of tips come in from schools, from both students and teachers and parents.
Because of Charlottesville, I think that a lot of people are really thinking about and looking at white supremacy. But I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about sort of seeing beyond those with torches and sort of just like the everyday incidents that you're seeing through Documenting Hate or that you're noticing either like set the ground for something like Charlottesville to happen or, you know, has this been something that has been happening, you know, at this low-key level, so to speak, for so long that Charlottesville is not really a surprise.
We have a couple of reporters who have been tracking the white supremacy movement, and I don't think Charlottesville was a surprise to them. On the other hand, this is an ongoing phenomenon, and it is usually everyday people who are doing it. There have obviously been several high-profile cases of white supremacists who've ultimately committed violence, and killed people, like, in Portland and in Charleston and in New York, actually, when that white supremacist came up from Baltimore and stabbed a man here. But in many of the cases we see, most of the time, these are just regular people. These are not necessarily white supremacists or white nationalists or neo-Nazis. These are regular people who are causing harm to their fellow Americans because of their beliefs.
So there was one incident recently in North Carolina where a man was arrested for hanging a noose from a tree in his neighbor's yard. Is this type of very in-your-face hate speech more common? And are people sort of feeling more free to do this type of stuff now than they were, let's say, a couple of years ago?
Don't know. That's one of the questions we're trying to figure out is, are people less afraid to share their racist views, essentially? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we'll get a definitive answer, because, like I said, these things have been happening regularly, but just haven't gotten as much attention.
Have you noticed, or have you guys gotten any documentation of people sort of being shamed for speaking Spanish in public or being told to speak English or anything related to speaking Spanish in a public setting?
Yes. So Univision actually did a story about this a couple weeks ago. I think it probably also extends to other languages, because off the top of my head, I can think of a couple other incidents involving people speaking other foreign languages and getting someone harassing them as a result. But Spanish being the biggest second language here, we have seen that. And we're keeping an eye on it, especially since we've identified it as a pattern. Anything else we see coming in, we're keeping track of.
Has anything surprised you?
I think one of the things that maybe didn't surprise me, but that I like to share whenever I talk about the project, is that these incidents are not restricted to any geographic area. We see incidents coming in from all over the country, from cities big and small, from rural areas, from big cities, from quote-unquote progressive cities, conservative cities. This is happening everywhere. We've also had a series of stories on racist incidents on public transportation in cities like New York and Boston, which, you know, one would think of as relatively progressive cities. Incidents of hate really happen everywhere.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for being on Latino USA.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Rachel Glickhouse from ProPublica. To read more about documenting hate or to tell your story about a hate crime, you can go to latinousa.org.